And we're back here, and we're back here with Talk the Town, and we have someone here from Holland Hospital to talk to us this morning. Julie Hussman is with us, and good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Duke.
She is going to talk about diabetes and American Diabetes Month, and this is the month when we celebrate it, really, but we observe it.
Exactly. More of an awareness month in November. You got it.
Right. Okay. Well, let's talk about what diabetes is, first of all.
Well, diabetes is a condition where someone's body is not handling the sugar that is in their bloodstream properly. With type 2 diabetes, normally either their insulin, which is the hormone that takes sugar out of the blood and gets it into the body cells where we want it, that insulin hormone is not working properly. Either it's not working or they're not producing enough insulin. So, therefore, sugar does not get out of the bloodstream into the cells where we burn it for energy. So, therefore, they have higher blood sugars.
And lower energy?
Absolutely. Because your energy source is your sugar, but not when it's in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
It has to get into the cells. Your brain cell runs on sugar. Your muscle cells run on sugar. Your heart, your lung cells, all of it runs on sugar. And if it's in your blood, your energy is not where it needs to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I know it's pretty serious because I know a lot of people that have it and deal with it. And eventually, if they don't watch it, it's a death sentence.
Right. It gets out of control.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. A lot of the complications that people know about with diabetes, that's what they fear most, is the eye damage, nerve damage, blood vessel damage. That's where we get the risk for heart attack or stroke. And that's what people think of. And sometimes I think there's some people that think that's inevitable. It's very important to address their diabetes, absolutely. But they also have to know that it is manageable with the right care and the right education. They often say 95% of blood sugar control is in the hands of the patient, the person living with diabetes. And I think some people think it's out of their control. And that's what scares me the most, is for people to think they have no control over those sugar levels.
Yeah.
Often it's just understanding it better. And that's our role in the Diabetes Self-Management Education Program at Holland Hospital, is to help people to understand what their role is in their diabetes management. Because then they can avoid those chronic complications like the heart attack, stroke, vision loss, I should say it that way, kidney damage, nerve damage. And those are the things we want to help them to avoid.
Right.
And they are avoidable.
Are there ways we can prevent it?
Yes. The way that you prevent type 2 diabetes from coming on is really the same way that you treat it when you're living with diabetes. That's through modest physical activity. And what they often recommend is 150 minutes of physical activity each week. So think of it as being 30 minutes, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And for someone who's not doing anything, any physical activity at all, that seems like an awful lot.
It does.
But they could start with 10 minutes and work their way up to that 30 minutes. Or perhaps they are somewhat active and they do maybe 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at noon, and 10 minutes at night. And they just got their 30 minutes in that day. So it's small amounts adding into the lifestyle until you get used to that and accustomed to it and then move yourself up. In addition, of course, eating healthy. We are always promoting healthy eating for anything, and that's true of diabetes prevention and for diabetes control. And there are many ways to alter a person's diet that can really help with controlling blood sugars. For some people, it may simply be avoiding those real concentrated sweet products that we all love, cakes and cookies and pies and ice cream, and maybe not even avoiding, but cutting back. I frequently, be honest with you, work with people who have a real sweet tooth.
Yes.
And they are eating sweets at breakfast and something sweet at lunch and something sweet at dinner. So it's a lot of sweets.
Is that what you call a balanced meal?
Yeah, right, right. A balanced meal. And it's not that those foods can't fit.
Right.
But yeah, a balanced meal is looking at your fruits, your vegetables, your whole grain products, and then those lean meats. And that's the hard part. Some people really struggle with the behavior change of maybe they don't even know what healthy eating is. To be honest, there are people out there still that really don't fully understand that. I think a lot of them hear a lot about it, but maybe don't know how to apply that to their life. Sometimes people think the way they're eating is healthy and don't realize what they're doing.
Right.
So getting that education and thinking of more natural whole foods. I was on a while back and talked a lot about eating more of a balanced whole foods diet, real foods, instead of packaged processed foods that is so prevalent.
All right, let's take time out for a word here. And we're talking with Julie Hoosman from Holland Hospital about diabetes this morning. And some of you must have a question about diabetes.
So, when the need arises, please consider one of four Dykstra locations in Holland and Saugatuck. We would be honored to serve your family.
And we are talking with Julie Hoosman today about diabetes. And if you have a question, 395-1450 is the number to give us a call. Now, what basic knowledge should people know about diabetes?
Well, first off is truly understanding how their diet impacts the blood sugar levels. Hopefully, those who are living with diabetes are testing their blood sugar on a regular basis, and that can really be their tool to better understand how what they're eating can affect their blood sugar level. A lot of times we talk about carbohydrate foods, certainly, when we talk diabetes, because carbohydrate is the nutrient in our food that breaks down into sugar. And some people have a misconception that they can never eat carbohydrate foods again, and that's just not true. There are people who live strict vegan lifestyles where they only eat carbohydrate foods and still can get very good blood sugar control. So it's not that they have to completely avoid those products. And I think sometimes people are afraid to come for education because they think we as registered dietitians in the diabetes program might tell them they can't have their favorite foods again.
Right.
As soon as I tell someone not to eat something, that's exactly what they're going to go out and do. They're going to eat whatever it is I told them never to eat. So it's not a drastic change for most people. It's just making subtle changes that can last a lifetime. And the way that we counsel people in eating with diabetes is really just an overall healthy diet that I would counsel anybody on. Maybe there's somebody that's just living with high cholesterol. I would counsel them on the same topics or concepts of healthy eating as I would somebody who lives with diabetes. Maybe there's somebody that wants weight control. I would counsel the same healthy eating behaviors. And again, it just gets back to the basics. Healthy, whole foods, natural foods in the way that they were intended to be consumed.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say whole foods, I don't mean that they have to eat everything raw. That doesn't mean you can't cook your food. It's just eating natural foods and finding those that you really enjoy and finding new ways to prepare food. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think over the years, we've gotten away from doing a lot of that food prep that people used to do and taking the time to prepare our meals at home.
Right.
Got a lot of reliance on restaurants and a lot of reliance on convenience foods. And that means highly processed foods. And that's unfortunate.
Julie, we haven't discussed the fact that there are two kinds of diabetes that we should address.
Good point. We have type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes. I mentioned type 2 earlier is typically diagnosed in adulthood. It could range from various ages. There are many people that aren't diagnosed until they're in their 60s, 70s, or 80s, but many people in their 30s and 40s are diagnosed with type 2. That's the one that people often correlate to people who are overweight, and that is true, but it doesn't mean that everybody that's overweight has type 2 or that everybody who has type 2 is overweight. It's a problem with insulin function. It's not working properly. But we're still making some insulin. With type 1, that typically happens in childhood. It can typically go anywhere up to age 30 most often, but I have seen people in their 40s diagnosed with type 1. And at that point, with type 1, their pancreas no longer makes insulin, period. They have to take insulin shots in order to replace the hormone insulin that the pancreas no longer produces. And that's a completely different type of diabetes. However, the management of it is the same, other than the fact that somebody with type 2 doesn't need an insulin immediately, typically, but somebody with type 1 absolutely does, and they will have insulin for the rest of their life. But with type 2, they start out, they could just do exercise and eating right, and that can control their blood sugars for many, many years. Then there are oral medications they will start when the blood sugars are still out of control, the diet, the exercise level is not helping, then we have to bring in some other medications. And there are many out there. There are injectable medications that are not insulin as well. So there are a lot of options for patients living with diabetes now. It's not just insulin, and that's often what people with type 2 fear. And it shouldn't be feared.
There's actually nothing you can do to prevent it.
Well, in a sense,
totally, is there?
There, in a sense, there is, because right now we have a grant at Holland Hospital that we are putting on the National Diabetes Prevention Program. And it doesn't say just that, yes, absolutely, you can prevent it, but you can possibly prevent it or at least delay it for mm-hmm. many, many years through lifestyle changes. And those lifestyle changes are the healthy diet I spoke about and the physical activity. So 150 minutes a week. As a part of this program, that's the prescription. They are encouraged to exercise 150 minutes, eat well, and that's a, you know, we can get into that really in depth. That will take hours to discuss that.
Yeah, you might have to make some adjustments in life.
Right, exactly. But also what comes along with eating well and moving more is weight loss very often.
Mm-hmm.
When a person carries their weight around their middle section, they find that that's the weight that impacts the blood sugar the greatest. So the belly fat that we carry is affecting our body's ability to use the insulin. And so when a person loses weight and that weight comes off that midsection, people's blood sugars can normalize.
Mm-hmm.
So we have normal blood sugar control. We have pre-diabetes, which means the blood sugars are rising. They're not normal, but they're not to the extent of diabetes yet. That's when we want to get people and say, okay, your blood sugars are rising. Let's do something about it now before it gets to the level of type 2 diabetes.
Okay. Time out for a word. We'll be right back with our guest. If you have a question about diabetes, this is the time to...
Your plans at Holland Public Schools. Looking ahead with Holland Public Schools Wednesday mornings at 9:20 on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station, and WHTC.com.
We are talking with Julie Hussman this morning, and she is telling us about diabetes, and this is National Diabetes Month, so or American Diabetes Month, so that's what it's all about. 395-1450 is the number if you'd like to give us a call this morning. All right, who is at risk about diabetes?
The people that are at risk is certainly, to start with, those who have a family history of diabetes.
Yeah.
If a person has a parent or a sibling that has diabetes, they are certainly at risk for type 2 diabetes. Even, you know, if you have a grandparent that was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, then you're aware you have that genetic component. And that's the part of type 2 diabetes you really can't do anything about. You can't choose your mom or dad. You can't choose your grandparents.
Right.
And so we have to look at lifestyle factors. Certainly, if a person is overweight and they have that family history, yes, they are at increased risk because of that weight. That weight is making them more resistant to their insulin. The insulin is simply not working well. In addition, we do find that certain cultures are at higher risk. African-American population, Hispanic, Latino population, even American Indian population, they have a higher incidence of type 2 diabetes. Again, that's not anything they can do anything about, but just having that awareness that I am at risk, mm-hmm. so I need to take better care of myself. Women who have had a baby that was 9 pounds or greater, or who were diagnosed with gestational diabetes. Gestational diabetes means a woman was pregnant and her blood sugars rose during pregnancy because of the pregnancy. That type of diabetes goes away once the baby is born.
I see.
But because she had it previously, she is at risk in her adult life mm-hmm. to have type 2 diabetes as well. Also, they really look at people whose blood pressure is running high, whose LDL cholesterol, which is your bad cholesterol, LDL, you think lousy with the L, that'll help people to remember it's the bad cholesterol. So if that's high and they have high triglyceride levels, that's called a metabolic syndrome when they have those type of disorders, and that puts them at increased risk for type 2 diabetes as well. So the physicians are watching for all those numbers. That's why all those lab tests get done on everybody each year, to
right.
watch for those.
Now, if someone has diabetes, and can they get over it?
If they well, have... It's I think what you're asking is, can you cure it?
Can you cure it in any way?
That's a big debatable thing. They've never really used the term cure diabetes, although you will see some marketing ploys out there for maybe nutrition products or books that are out there that say the cure for diabetes. There right now is no cure for diabetes. Oftentimes, national physicians that might write books on diabetes, they'll use the term reverse diabetes, because maybe it was a certain diet plan that they, like the strict vegan diet, a physician might see their patients really respond to that type of diet and bring blood sugars down to normal. Their cholesterol level is normal. Their blood pressure returns to normal. So reversing it, okay, maybe that's a good term to use. I always think, can you control it? Can you bring it back under normal control? Yes, absolutely. Even the gastric bypass surgery, where people shrink their stomach, when they leave surgery, for some reason, that does reverse the diabetes. But we always have to come back to, if that person goes back to normal eating behaviors, like they did the before they gained all the weight, that or the reason they gained the weight, they gain all that weight back, they're still going to have high blood sugar levels. So again, they didn't cure it. They just put it under very good control because of that drastic type of stomach surgery. And that's been shown that people who do gain the weight back, blood sugars will tip back up. Mm-hmm. Because it's still, you have that genetic component. You can't get rid of that. But you can control it through eating well and moving more on a mm-hmm. regular basis. Mm-hmm. Those are the key. And sounds easy. I make it sound easy.
Yes.
But it's not. It's behavior change.
Okay. Time out here for a word. We'll be right back with our guest.
We like environment and the quality of care Oak Crest lets me provide. I walk to my car every night with a smile on my face, feeling good about my day. To learn more, visit oakcrestcommunities.com.
We're talking about diabetes today, and we're talking with Julie Hussman from Holland Hospital. And if you have a question, 395-1450, our line is open for you. Well, let's talk a little bit about the programs that are offered by Holland Hospital.
Yes, Holland Hospital has an American Diabetes Association accredited program called the Diabetes Self-Management Education Program. And that's a program where physicians will refer patients for education and training. In addition, we do help the physicians with the management of a person's blood sugars. So maybe a person has had prior education but just isn't really getting good control of their blood sugars. The physicians will send people our way to maybe help them to analyze their lifestyle factors a little bit more, look at their medications, and make suggestions to the physicians of things that can help this person better control. When a person is first diagnosed with diabetes, they really should be talking to their physician about education opportunities, because most insurance companies model coverage for diabetes education after Medicare. And Medicare pays for 10 hours of education for a person diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, or type 1 for that matter. There's no distinguishing factor there. But that's 10 hours of education. The first hour is initially with an educator, either a dietitian or a nurse, and that's just to assess where they are at in their diabetes mm-hmm. management, how they're controlling it, whether they're testing blood sugars, and we provide blood sugar meters for free for people and show them how to use that. That's really key. That's their homework. That's their tool at home to know how they're doing. Otherwise, they just wait around for the physician to do another blood test in 3 to 6 months to know how they're doing. So we make sure that we train them on how to use a glucose meter and the benefits of doing so, mm-hmm. so that they understand their
disease. Is that with the pinprick in the finger?
Yeah, that's the pinprick in the finger. And we also, hopefully, we're good at training people to find ways to make that as painless as possible. Okay. It is a quick little poke, but I know for a lot of people it's not a fun thing. And once you do it, you realize, okay, this is doable. And so we show them how to do that as pain-free as possible. Mm-hmm. And then the other 9 hours of the initial education is actually in group classes. And insurance companies are insisting that we do the bulk of a person's education in the group setting, because it's been proven that we learn from one another. If you just sit down with me, there's only so much I can do for you, because first off, you're probably looking at me as, okay, you're an educator. What do you know? You're not living this day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And that's true. I don't have type 2 diabetes. However, I do try to live my lifestyle the way that I train people to. Certainly, I try to practice what I preach. Yeah. But when you're sitting with a group of people of all different dynamics, maybe different ages, different gender, different nationalities, they might ask questions that you didn't even think to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may be going through the same thing that you're going through, maybe a physical limitation or your attitude towards the diabetes, your feelings, that you can really feed on one another and know that you're not alone in that. So that's why the insurance companies are encouraging those group classes. So we do 3 group classes, 1 day a week. We have morning classes and we have evening classes to accommodate everybody's schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through those group classes and then you come back for a group follow-up. And then from there, every year, insurance companies pay for 2 hours of diabetes education on an individual basis, and they pay for medical nutrition therapy, which is where a person sits down with a registered dietitian and solely talks about their food habits and their likes and their dislikes. And we can help them to set up a meal plan that's realistic for them. It's, you know, diabetes diet, that kind of terminology has gone by the wayside. There is no one set diabetic diet. So we need to figure out for a person, where are they at? What's important to them? What's their current habit like? And what subtle changes could they make that they're willing to make?
Right.
And that nutrition therapy is paid for 3 years, the first year of diagnosis, 3 hours for the first year of diagnosis, and then 2 hours every year thereafter. So if a person living with diabetes feels they need additional education and the doctor agrees that that would be beneficial, then that's when we can get that referral from the physician.
Okay. Time out for some weather here. The weather is brought to you by our friends over at Kia. That's HollandKia.com. And for today, it's showers with a high of 45. Tonight, showers with a low of 37. Tomorrow, showers with a high of 43. And on Friday morning, showers with a high of 45. And right now, it is, I think we just had the temperature here, and 37. Wow. It's cold out there this morning. So that's the weather up to this time. And let's ask where people can get more information about diabetes.
What I would recommend, if a person is interested in learning more about the diabetes program or would like some assistance in getting that referral from their physician, I would just have them call my office at 616-394-3273. And that comes directly to my extension as the diabetes program coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if they're interested in getting in the full program, they can do that?
Absolutely.
And
the full program is paid once in a lifetime by their insurance company.
I see.
They've had those group classes in the past, then we would seek the referral to come and have them meet with us as an educator one-on-one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
In other words, you'll fix it so they can probably get in the classes.
Absolutely. You know, and I've requested many referrals from physicians in the past for diabetes education, and I've never had one decline. They want their patient armed with the tools.
It's for the good of the company as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
That helps that physician out. That helps that patient out. They find that living with their diabetes is easier after having some education and understanding it better.
Right. Well, you can contact Julie and maybe get started on this if you haven't done so already. And I'd suggest if you haven't, you'd better if you have diabetes. Thank you very much, Julie, for being our guest this morning here on our Talk of the Town program.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.